we come to that point in our service as we prepare to go to prayer that we share with my curiosity about Jesus often is a curiosity about what it was like for him to grow up, who he was like as a child, and the kinds of things he did. Any of you ever wondered about that? It seems to be a common enough thing that persons wonder about. In fact, one of my favorite contemporary Christian artists actually has a song thinking about what it must have been like for Jesus to have been a baby and have grown up, and what are the kinds of things he would have been taught? What stories would he have been told? The thing is, some of these questions we really don't have to speculate about because we know. We know that Jesus grew up as a Jew. And as a Jewish boy, he would have been taught the stories of the Old Testament. He would have been taught the story of Daniel and in the lion's den. He would have been taught the story of David and Goliath. He would have known the story of Joshua at the Battle of Jericho, Moses on Mount Sinai, Adam and Eve. Those very stories that we cherish and grew up with are the very stories that Jesus cherished and grew up with. They would have been his bedtime stories. They would have been his school stories. More than that, they would have been the way he was taught the faith. In fact, it was through these stories that we see that Jesus discovers and sees who he is. The Old Testament, that book that I suppose in some ways we neglect as Christians because we have the New Testament to excite us with stories of Jesus, and quite frankly it's a little bit easier to understand and read. And so the Old Testament sometimes becomes quite neglected. And yet it's this very Testament, this Old Testament, that would have been Jesus' Bible. It would have contained not only the stories he was taught, but the poetry he would have memorized, the prayers he would have prayed. Do you remember his words from the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? That was actually Psalm 22. If you've never read Psalm 22, I tell you, it is one of the most passionate, moving, soul-wrenching psalms that there are. And it is one that the Jewish people memorized and prayed. It's the psalm that Jesus turns to on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. It's a beautiful psalm. It ends in hope, I'll let you know, but it starts out in agony and despair, something Jesus turned to and hung on to while he was hanging on the cross. Jesus' own ministry comes out of the Old Testament. Do you remember that most of the time when Jesus was confronted by persons testing him, by persons asking him questions, or even by the devil himself, Jesus quoted scripture. He quoted the Old Testament. In fact, Jesus doesn't quote from any other book. Even though the canon, the rigid structure of which books were in the Old Testament and which books weren't, wasn't decided until 70 A.D., 70 years after Jesus was born. And yet it's the only book he quotes. Do you remember when they asked him, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus answered, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And the second is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know where that comes from? That comes from the book of Deuteronomy. In fact, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5, was called the Shema. It was one of the most critical verses of Scripture. And it was taught and memorized by every Jewish child. In fact, the first of it, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one," they would stamp out on little pieces of silver and roll them up and put a string through them and wear them around their arm or wear them around their forehead that they might never forget who God is. Verse 5 is this: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." And the second is like unto this is not right after it, but that is also found in Deuteronomy, that understanding that we are called to love our neighbors. You might remember that Jesus kind of throws a loop on them by redefining neighbor in his parable of the Good Samaritan, where neighbor becomes those persons who are in need, and we become a neighbor when we respond to that need. In fact, it's a definition of neighbor that includes foreigners, and that would have been radical to the Jewish people of Jesus' time, the leaders he was talking to, but it wasn't a radical thought for the Old Testament. In fact, the book of Ruth, the book of Jonah, contain those very definitions of neighbor. The book of Isaiah taught that the Jewish people were to share their faith with the rest of the world. No wonder Jesus is able to say, "On these the whole of the law and the prophets hang." Jesus used that a lot. Do you notice that when you're reading through the New Testament, he'll refer to the law and the prophets? He'll say, "The law and the prophets say," or "All hangs on the law and the prophets." In fact, in the scripture I read this morning, he says, starting with Moses and then going through the prophets, he showed them all the things about them. The law, or Moses, or the books of Moses, is the name for the first five books of the Old Testament in Jesus' day: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those were referred to as the law, or as the books of Moses. And so when he starts with Moses, he starts with Genesis. He starts with the first book of the Old Testament and shows them, even in Genesis, where the revelation of who he was in Jesus Christ begins to unfold. And then goes through the prophets. Now the prophets start with the books Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and then goes to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, and all those little teeny ones at the end that we never, even pastors' Bibles normally don't have crinkles in. Those are the prophets. It's amazing to me that Jesus was so familiar with these books, loved them so much, read them so much. I have come to love them as well in my reading of them. And I am really excited about the opportunity that we have as a congregation to study one of those books together, the book of Daniel, that we might come to have read and have heard and have loved these same stories, this same book that inspired Jesus' ministry, inspired his responses, his stories, his teaching, his identity of who he was. Rich Mullins' song has a chorus in it that says, "Did they tell you about the saints of old? Did they tell you about their faith? They say stories like that make a boy grow bold. They say stories like that makes a man walk straight." It is my hope that as we study Daniel, either, and you have lots of ways to do this. The sermons are going to be on Daniel. The Bible study is going to be on Daniel for the next 6 weeks. You can read along with us, starting with Daniel 1 and 2 to prepare for next Sunday. But it's my hope that as we do this together, as we hear this story about the saints of old, that they might help us to grow bold in our faith and to walk straight as they did for Jesus.